1 John chapter 1. Last week I introduced our series, which we are calling Essential Christianity. And I read to you the entire letter of 1 John. Do you remember that? 1 John, a letter arrived from John. How did you experience 1 John last week? Nathan Christofitz told me that he loved the sermon last week because he got to close his eyes and sit back and relax. I think maybe Nathan had some really good dreams about 1 John. How did you encounter it? Some of you told me it was hard to follow without reading it yourself. And of course, the first listeners would have been more used to that kind of oral learning, but that's how they encountered this book. Not everyone had their own copy like we amazingly do today. It was read to them. Now today you'll need to open your eyes and look with me at the details of the text, 1 John chapter 1, Pew Bible page 1207. How did you encounter 1 John last week? Was it uncomfortable? John says some very strong things. That strong coffee he's brewing. But it's very good. Was it encouraging? John says some incredibly wonderful things in 1 John. Almost too good to be true, but they are true. What was your experience? I found myself wanting to get down deep into the details of the letter. It was hard not to stop and start preaching. To get down into the details and to understand it better and to teach it, which is what we're going to do. Thank you for turning in your Bibles to 1 John, Pew Bible, page 1207. This is Pastor Appreciation Month, which I always think should be renamed Church Family Appreciation Month. You do a great job of taking care of us, and it's a joy to take care of you. One of the things I love about this church is that when we say, open your Bibles, you open your Bibles. That's a great sound for a pastor, the sound of turning pages so that you can put your eyes on the page and your finger on the text. Thank you, Blair, for that poem. Did I understand that Granny wrote that one? Granny wrote the poem. You wrote the poem. But she was the one who read it originally. Okay, so that's a Blair Murray original. My wife says she'd like a copy of that. I think it's the whole part about he married well. She says she wants, she said, do you have a copy of that? I want a copy of that. That is true. I did marry well. I married up. Amen? Right. And there is one cure to a young pastor. Just let him hang around long enough, and he becomes me. I also want to thank you for sending Heather and me to the CCEF conference this week on guilt and shame. There was no EFCA National Leadership Conference this year, and we didn't get to the Pastors and Wives Conference this month. As a substitute, we're going to go to this conference in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Heather and I will be gone Wednesday to Monday. The kids will be with my mom and dad in Ohio. Please pray for us. Pray for safe travel, of course, but pray especially for Heather's health. Many of you know Heather's been sick for 2 weeks and still has no voice. And that can make the conference a little tedious, and we're hoping for it to be inspiring and life-giving. So pray for us as we're away, and thank you for sending us. We love you. Okay, enough other stuff. Let's talk about essential Christianity in 1 John. Our message today is going to be called The Word of Life. The Word of Life. And we're just going to study four verses. The first four verses of 1 John. Let's read that. 1 John 1, 1 through 4. I'll be reading from the 1984 New International Version. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the Word of Life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Would you pray with me? Father, we've said and sung many wonderful things today about your love lifting us. We've said, praise the Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. We've said there are 10,000 reasons and more to bless your name. We've heard, put Jesus first in your life. And we've heard the story of how you became first in Andy's life. Lord, these are all good things. Now concentrate, Lord, all of that into all of us, and then all of us into these four verses. They are glorious, and they are the message we need to hear from you today. So speak to us, Lord. Use me if you can, work around me if you must, but speak to us, Lord, from your holy word. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Wow, just four verses, but how packed these verses are with power. John doesn't start his letter in the conventional way, does he? I, John, write to you. No, he jumps right in there. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. Actually, that's not the real end of that sentence. Verses 1 through the first part of verse 3 are actually one very long sentence in Greek. It doesn't work in English, but that which was from the beginning all the way to fellowship with us is just one sentence in the original. John just jumps right in there, doesn't he? And it sounds like John, doesn't he? That what we've come to expect from John. John loves words like in the beginning and word and life and eternal and joy. If you read John's gospel, it sounds a lot like John's gospel. These are John kind of words. Just four verses, but so packed with power. What I was really struck with as I studied these verses to share them with you today was how much they are about what this church is all about. And while it comes from John's perspective, it could be describing our perspective as Lance Free Church. I have four key words to describe what this passage and our church is all about. Reality, proclamation, fellowship, and joy. We'll take them one at a time. Number one, reality. Reality. Jesus is real. John is talking here about reality. He's insisting that Jesus was real. He and his brother apostles were eyewitnesses and had seen it for themselves. Verse 1 again. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at or gazed at, and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. John is saying, what I am going to talk about, this word of life, is something that I have personally experienced. Eyes, ears, even hands. This word of life was not something we made up. It's something that actually happened in actual history. Verse 2. The life appeared. It actually appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. Verse 3. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard. This stuff is real. John is going to come back to this again and again. It's very important. It's one of the most important messages that John has for us. It's the same message as appears in the prologue of his gospel. Raise your hand if you're in 5th and 6th grade Kids for Christ. A few of us here are. Yep. Tanya Harned says, I am. She's a teacher for that class. They're memorizing John 1 right now, right? In the beginning was the... And the Word was with... And the word, right. That's the word of life that's being talked about here. The word is a message. Let me give you a word, right? It's a message. And this is a personal message. In fact, it's a message in personal form. It's not just a message, but it's a message that came as a person. And it is a word, he says, a word of life that is the word of life. Or as it says in the Gospel of John, in him was... And that life was the... Right. That's who John is talking about in 1 John. That which was from the beginning, Now, if you know Genesis 1 and you know John 1, that's incredibly familiar. He's talking about Jesus. That's the word of life. That's verse 2. The eternal life which was with the Father in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. See how these two fit together? 1 John 1 and John 1. What does John 1 say happened to the Word? I don't think our Kids for Christ kids have gotten there yet. John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. The Word became flesh. Or 1 John 1:2, right here, the life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it. Now there are 2 months still till Christmas, but this is Christmas. The Word became flesh. I mean, really, truly. God became man, really, truly. And John saw it. He heard it. He touched it. You could poke Jesus. Remember how after the resurrection, Jesus told Thomas to poke Him? Go ahead, poke Me. Poke your finger right here. Touch My hands. Put your hand in My side here. This is real. Yes, I really died. Yes, I really came back to life. I really came from the Father in the first place. It's reality. Now that's incredibly important to say in this day and age. This church is about reality. We are about saying that Jesus is real. Not fake, not made up, not a legend, not a myth. Not just a nice thing we enjoy singing about and then we go on our way believing something different to be true. We don't just, it's just a nice story we tell our children. We believe that Jesus is real. The whole thing about Jesus is real. Now you might be here today and not believe that yet. That's okay. We are glad you're here. But we want you to know that we really believe that this whole Jesus thing is real. If it isn't, we are dumb and we are so wasting our lives. Especially me. I'm a vocational person who my whole job is about Jesus being real. We believe because it's real. Now we invite you to investigate it. Ask your questions. Poke around. Make up your own mind about Jesus. That's what we're here for. We believe that the Word of life is real. And more than that, we believe that we need to tell others. Proclamation. Proclamation. We tell others about Jesus. Notice that's what John is doing too. Notice how he moves from what he has experienced to what he proclaims. Look at verse 2. The life appeared, and we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard. You hear it? Proclamation. What John has experienced, he then proclaims. It moves from us to you. What we have, we give to you. What John has experienced, he proclaims. And he says in verse 2 that he testifies to it. In other words, John here is giving his personal testimony, just like Andy did today. Thank you, Andy. Just like Lonnie did last week. Just like I read in the bulletin, the men are planning to do at the next men's meeting on the 5th. This is John telling his story in 2012. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Proclamation. For 120 years, now more than 120 years, this church has been about proclaiming Jesus. What we know to be true, what we have experienced, we tell others. Proclamation. Now the application of that is to tell others about Jesus, to do it. When was the last time? I asked myself that question this week. When was the last time, Matt, that you told someone about Jesus aside from Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights? And it's been too long, I'm ashamed to say. When was the last time for you? When was the last time you proclaimed the Word of life? When was the last time you gave your testimony, a piece of your story, to a lost person who needed to hear it? Because as important as it is to do here on Sunday mornings, it's it's even more important to do outside these walls. That's what our church is all about. We tell others about Jesus. That's what John was up to. He was proclaiming what he had seen and heard. And that was for a reason. It's for number three, fellowship. We are connected to God and to each other. Fellowship. Listen to verse 3. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. The key word there is fellowship. John's proclamation was for the purpose of fellowship. If his readers gladly received his message concerning the Word of Life, then they would be able to enjoy fellowship. If they did not, they would not enjoy fellowship. What is fellowship? Fellowship, the Greek word here is koinonia. You've probably heard that word before. The Greek word is koinonia. Fellowship means a committed partnership or to have something important in common. In this case, the thing in common is the Lord. Fellowship is relationship. It's a vital connection between persons. And we often think about fellowship as being a meal. Ladies that went to the retreat had fellowship on the way down, and they probably had some delicious meals at First Free McKeesport. Welcome home, ladies. I hear you had a great time. Looking forward to hearing more about it. We are having a mouth-watering fellowship meal together back the hallway in just a few minutes. And I hope you all stay for it. But I also hope you don't eat all the deviled eggs before I get a chance to get back there. But fellowship is more than a meal. It's more than just greeting each other and enjoying each other. Those things facilitate fellowship, but they aren't our Christian fellowship. Our fellowship is vital connection with one another in relationship. That's what our ladies experienced as they went down together and shared their testimonies with one another and shared a room and talked about important, real, eternal things. That's fellowship. Our fellowship is vital connection with one another in relationship. Verse 3. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. John could have added, as Paul does elsewhere, and with the Holy Spirit. Our fellowship is with God. We are vitally connected in relationship with God. Here at Lance Free Church, we call that a love relationship with Jesus Christ. We exist to glorify God by bringing people into fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You see why I said these four verses are all about what our church is all about? Are you connected to God? Our church exists to connect you with God. We get connected to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's the only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But all who come through Jesus get connected to the Father. That's what Jesus was doing on the cross. He was creating fellowship. He was connecting us to God. Verse 3. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard. That's the Word of Life. That's Jesus. So that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now notice that our fellowship is not just with God, but with each other. If you believe in the Word of Life, then you may have fellowship with John. Fellowship is more than just connection to God. It's also connection to fellow believers. And again, that's what our church is all about. For 120 years, we've been connecting believers to one another. We've not always done the best job of it. I know I haven't. But that's what we're about. We're about connecting believers to God and to one another. That's one of the reasons why, in just a few short minutes, we're going to get our picture taken together. Because we're a family. We're connected to each other, and we want everyone to feel that way. That's what families do. Families eat together too. That's why we do it, to facilitate that fellowship. By the way, if this is your first Sunday with us, Copper, you are invited and wanted in our church family photo. We want to connect you to us, and would love to have you get your picture taken with us. Okay, you hear me? Is your first Sunday? Come on up and get your picture taken. Because We want to connect you to us and would love to have you get your picture taken with us. We're going to do it in record speed this morning. We're totally ready. We've got teams that are going to grab chairs and move the pulpit, and Shen's got her camera already fixed, so we're going to move this really quickly. Just come and jump up here, then we'll get it taken, and then we'll go get to the important stuff. Eaton. Fellowship. Here's the application question. Are you connected to God and to other believers? John is totally concerned with this question. He's going to come back to this idea of fellowship in just a few more verses. In some ways, it's what the whole book is about. Are you connected to God and to other believers? Do you have a relationship with God through Jesus? If so, is it growing? And do you have a growing relationship with other believers? Jesus is real. We tell others about Him, and that brings us into relationship with Him and with others. And that brings us to number four, and last, joy. We are happy in Jesus. Notice in verse 4, what John says is the reason that he wrote this letter. We write this to make our joy complete. Now, some of you probably have your joy in verse 4, and there is some question about which was the original, but both readings amount to pretty much the same thing. John wants his readers to have complete joy, and John won't have complete joy until his readers have complete joy in fellowship with God. Joy. Joy is not just a feeling. It's not the same as what we often mean when we say happy, because we can have a happy meal, and that's not joy. But it's like happiness. It's the deep-seated happiness that fills our heart when we realize what we have in Jesus. Because we have everything, everything that matters. And so we can rejoice. And isn't that exactly what this church is all about? Rejoicing in Jesus. That's why we sing together on Sunday mornings. We are only truly happy if we're happy in Jesus. But if we truly have fellowship with Jesus, we have every reason to be happy. We write this to make our joy complete.